Oh, I have no idea.
I'm not ready for you.
Good morning.
Yeah.
Good morning, everyone. It's 10 o'clock on September 17th, 2019, and I'm calling to order the meeting of the Story County Board of Supervisors. And if you would like, please join us as we say the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. First, adoption of the agenda. I'd entertain a motion.
So move.
Second.
Okay. Olson?
Aye.
Hedden?
Aye.
Merkin? Aye. Agenda's adopted. Next, we have public comment number one. This comment period is for the public to address topics on today's agenda. And if anybody would has something they would like to say, please move to the microphone. Seeing nobody move to the microphone, I'll close public comment session number one. Then we have agency reports. Melissa Spencer's here today with us from Emergency Management Agency for her quarterly report. Good morning, Melissa.
Good morning.
Hello.
Well, first off, Keith wanted me to extend to you that he's sorry he couldn't be here this morning. He's actually attending a terrorism task force training in Des Moines this morning, so he has asked me to fill his shoes this morning. We have been, again, as you see, very, very busy. A lot of our responses this last quarter were everything from hazardous materials incidents to missing persons, to coordinating with other counties for a Stover fire, and also for mass care at the Ellsworth Community College. So a lot of varying things for our response during this last quarter. For our planning, African swine fever continues to be a priority. One of the things that we are looking at locally is the issue of depopulation and disposal of animal carcasses. Right now, we are trying to ascertain how that will impact local resources, and I believe Linda and Keith are going to be attending a informational to observe an exercise on African swine fever that is being put on by the federal level. But it's really something on how are we going to assist the producers at the county level, and what are those resources going to look like at the county level that still needs to be determined what that impact will be. But that is something that is continuing to be a focus for our office. Our I-35 closure plan is under revision from our closure last year. We had a lot of lessons learned and hope to have the revisions ready to go by our annual October multi-agency exercise that we do every year. That is a continuing process that will continue even beyond our annual exercise. We're continuing to do some work with the Iowa DOT as well to improve that. For training, I'd like to extend our appreciation to the board members for attending the Incident Command 700 and 100 training that we hosted this last week. We had 41 attendees, which was great. We initially thought we were going to have about 34, so it was really good to see that. Training like this helps communities and cities and the county be able to look at developing their emergency operations plan. So we hope that there was maybe some things that will help the county as they explore developing emergency operation plans in the future. We are hosting a Federal Department of Homeland Security cyber training on December 11th that will be split over the day for small agencies and large agencies. This training is free to attend, and Keith will have more information coming out as that comes along. To continue with training, we are conducting damage assessment training for Story County on Monday. And we have folks from Planning and Development, the Assessor's Office, and also Conservation that are going to be attending. These folks will end up being the cast of Story County folks that can go out and do damage assessment for the unincorporated areas of the county. So we will be getting those folks up to speed so they will be able to deploy quickly if we have a disaster impact the county. In November, we, over three different training days, we will be conducting EOC staff training. We will be doing a training slash exercise with the State Emergency Operations Center to practice coordination of resource requests and resource management. So far, we have 20 of our Story County staff signed up for that training, which is great. And we also do continue to appreciate the board's support in allowing us to utilize Story County employees for that those EOC positions. We couldn't have an EOC without the support from the board. It would be very difficult to staff those positions. So that's about it for training. Exercises. You may have seen some information coming out through our social media outlets. We also did send a media release that we will be conducting a countywide test of the Story County Iowa Alert System on September 27th at 10 a.m. This is the first time a test has been conducted since the system was installed. So we did do a media release, and as I said, we are doing a social media campaign as well, trying to get folks to sign up. Since the first of the month, we've had 530 additional people sign up since we started doing the informational campaign. So we're pretty tickled. Still only have about 29,000 people signed up in Story County, but we're happy to see the increase of over 500 folks. So it'll be interesting to see how the test goes, and we'll report back on that the next quarter. For operations, as you know, our office has been working with Jovi on the hazard mitigation grant for backup power increased backup power generation on this building. the county has been invited to apply to fill out an application. My understanding does not call for any commitment of funds to the county in the application phase. But Jovi wanted me to ask if that is a agenda item that needs to be put up for direction from the board to make application for the grant.
I think we've discussed it and given direction. I think
you
guys.
Okay. We just wanted to make sure now that it's been opened up, and Jovi and I will be working together to get that application done. So we're pretty happy that that will be moving forward.
Thanks for checking.
Yes. So it was one of those, as I was looking at my notes, I want to make sure. We are still working with Jovi on an agreement to continue to use the shed in Ames. We're going to work on a memorandum of understanding and determine the costs for us to continue to use that shed. We've done a lot of training during this last quarter. Training is our focus going forward. A lot of our training sessions are encouraging folks to discuss the issues, develop a common understanding, which will lead to better coordination and understanding of roles and responsibilities. Through our planning and training, our goal is to better prepare EOC staff, better prepare our communities, and better prepare our first responders. So that's kind of the highlights of this last quarter. If there's any questions, concerns?
The only question I had, you mentioned a potential training in December.
December 11th.
Okay.
That will be the Federal Department of Homeland Security cyber training. Right now, it looks like the 11th is the day. Keith is still confirming that the folks from DHS are available that day, so there should be more information coming on that.
I think I did too. Since you mentioned it, I just wanted to double check. Thank you.
And that could be open to anyone in Story County government that wanted to attend.
Right.
We could have sheriff's department people there.
Yeah, it will be open. There's some discussion. It will for sure be open to Story County folks first, and then there's some discussion right now with DHS about how far to open it, how much further they would like to open it. It's open to any agency in Story County that would like to attend. It also has been pushed out to a lot of the business continuity folks to get some of our businesses and things engaged as well. In the getting information on the cyber. So Keith will have more information coming in the future on when that's going to be. We're still working on a location as well, because we're trying to figure out how big is this going to be. So
then we send out a registration link for it when you're ready?
Yeah.
Okay.
Keith will get information sent out when we're ready.
Great.
Great.
Perfect.
I wanted to compliment you and thank you again for hosting Des Moines Hazmat and bringing them up here. And I hope sometime we can go ahead and have that in the future. But I just want you to know that I was impressed also in not only how you handled it and everything, Melissa, but it was very clear that you had good rapport with the first responders who were up there, both that came up from Des Moines, the hazmat group, and then the ones from our area that attended. So I just want you to know that that did not go unnoticed by me.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I appreciate that a lot.
And I learned that I should never respond to something like the Collins situation. I don't think they want somebody standing up and I go, eek. So it was very informative.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you very
much. Thank you
very much. Okay. And next, consideration of minutes, the regular and the special session minutes of 9:10 and 9:11, respectively. Take those one at a time, maybe.
Okay.
The minutes of the September 10th meeting.
I so move approval as presented.
Second.
Okay. Olson?
Aye.
Bedden?
Aye.
Merkin? Aye. Minutes of the September 11th special.
I move approval of September 11th special minutes.
I second.
Okay. Bedden?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Merkin? Aye. Minutes are approved. Next, consideration of personnel actions. I'd entertain a motion for approval of personnel actions as listed.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Heddens?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Merkin? Aye. Personnel actions. Claims, again, consider a motion.
As presented, I move as presented.
Okay.
I second.
Olson?
Aye.
Heddens?
Aye.
Merkin? Aye. Now, consent agenda. Loris, I understand you wanted to pull an item.
Yes, I'd like to pull item 4. I have a question on it. That's the consideration of the purchase of the 2 new vehicles for the Sheriff's Department.
Would you like to? I'm assuming she sent the question is for you.
The question is for Leanne and Anna. Good morning.
Good morning.
And I would have just called and asked if you hadn't been here this morning. I wasn't sure if anybody would be here or not.
Oh.
But, okay. So I'm a little unclear about the part of that we're responsible for on the single vehicle, the damage there. Is that coming out of the sheriff's budget, or are you asking the Board of Supervisors for a kind of additional allotment of funds to cover that?
That wouldn't come out of the sheriff's office budget. I believe Todd could maybe better explain where we would expect that to come out of, what line
item. Okay. Todd, could you come on up then, please? Thank you. I just, the way it read, it said it's us, but I wasn't clear, yeah, exactly where the money comes from.
Yeah, so with this vehicle, there's a couple things. We're changing over from a 19 version to a 20 version, and the whole unit itself has changed. They're not similar at all, so there's some additional cost to that as a new product coming onto the market. So what we're working with is the previous unit that was totaled. That owner of that that hit our vehicle, they have claimed fault. It is their fault. So we are working with the insurance company right now to get reimbursed for the price of that vehicle, which I believe is like $37,000. And then the additional cost of getting the equipment removed and then getting that equipment installed into the new vehicle, they're going to cover that. And then also getting the striping done and decals done on it that needs to occur. Their insurance is going to cover that fee as well.
But what about, we had two vehicles destroyed, and the other one was in a pursuit, so it was a single act. It was just our vehicle that was harmed.
Right.
Okay, so that's the one I'm asking about. Where does that money come from? Is it a cash payment that we, the county, need to pay cash out of our uncommitted general fund, or does insurance cover part of that and we pay the rest, and then does it come from the sheriff's line item budget or from ours, from the general?
So we only have liability coverage, so there will be no payment from insurance for that vehicle. And this is my first time through this, so I'm not sure how you want to outline that process with us. you know, as far as the accident goes, we're at fault for the accident.
It's our fault.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm not sure how that. This is my first time through this process.
Thank you.
So
Alyssa's headed up here too. We're all going to learn today.
Good morning. This comes out of our insurance reserve.
Okay.
It's a supplemental.
Thank you.
So, and we'll work with, we don't typically budget. I mean, we budget a certain amount. We can't see in the future to know that we're going to have multiple claims, but Todd is working with Lisa Markley on that.
Okay. Thank you for that. Okay, thank you. So, and the officers are both okay now?
Yes.
All right.
Fortunately, neither were injured.
Okay, thank you. All right. That was all I wanted. So thank you, Lieutenant Ellis, for coming. It looks like today either is a court day or a non-uniform day for you. So thanks for coming today.
Thank you. Okay. So.
So
do we need to make a separate motion on that? Because it was pulled. That's what I thought. So let's approve the consent agenda with the exception of item 4.
I'll move the consent agenda with the exception of item 4.
I second.
Any discussion? Not Hedden?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Merkin? Aye. Now we will all entertain a motion on item 4.
I move that we approve the expenditure of $90,756,000 to replace two vehicles totaled.
Mm-hmm.
I second.
Okay. Any discussion? Olson?
Aye.
Hedden?
Aye.
Merkin? Aye. Okay, we are through with consent agenda and we're on to public hearing items. Consideration of final plans, specifications, and form of contract for the Dakin's Lake Sustainable Energy Cabin. Mike Cox and Ted Tedesco, board member. Welcome,
good
gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, any day I get to come chat with you is a good day, and an even better day when Ted's with me. So
he likes old company.
Seasoned. I'm seasoned. So are you.
That's a better word.
However, we had hoped that the message that we'd be bringing today and asking for is a different message, would be a different message than what the dialogue will be. So, having caveated it with that, a brief history here, you know that we have, when we developed Dakin's Lake, the Dakin's Lake expansion in, I want to say, 2013, when we began that process, went through a master planning process, we identified we wanted to put cabins at Dakin's Lake. And we didn't have the funding available at the time to do that. Designed it such that we could do that in the future, like some space allocation, et cetera, there for cabins. And as the years went by after that, learned that, yes, it's more and more of a desire on our part and for the community to have the ability to have cabins there. Cabins were budgeted in the 2019 budget, funding for which partial came out of general fund and partial came out of the energy transfer fund, a subset of the general fund. So we started through our design process. Conservation Board is very committed to its mission of providing a sustainable energy cabin and doing it as a demonstration, encouraging folks learn about the techniques employed and with the idea of maybe emulating some of those at their own homes. So that's been one of our guiding principles for this. As we went through design with the engineer in the late hours of the design, prior to final design, we learned that the cost opinion went up significantly, and to a point where it exceeded the budgeted amount and exceeded it significantly. And so Conservation Board considered this at their last meeting, and they voted to table it right now, to not issue the request for bids. Because of that overage in funding. And so what we're asking of you today is to postpone this consideration indefinitely while we kind of revamp a little bit and think about what do we really want to accomplish up there. Notice the Conservation Board is very cognizant of its role as public stewards of public funds, and just didn't feel that an expenditure of that size is warranted right now in application. Warranted, not period, for this purpose. I did chat with, yesterday I chatted with Mayor Herb at Daring, and get some feedback from the community, and he was very supportive of the action that the Conservation Board did, very interested in the cabin, and very concerned that we not abandon the idea, rather that supportive of the idea of retooling and seeing what can be done up there. So again, he was supportive of this action and agreed that with that amount of money that he shared the view of the conservation. With that, Ted, would you
like to? I think what happens here is a good reminder to anybody who serves on a county board or commission, a city board or commission, a state board or commission, that one of the responsibilities that comes with it is being financially responsible. And in that consideration is, where are you with your budget? You're spending the public money. Also, where is the good? Is it going to serve the purpose? And I know that we all try to make all of our projects in conservation as green friendly as possible, but maybe we've gone overboard. We need to go back to the drawing board and reconsider, and what will be good for the public. And this was a unanimous decision by the board.
Anything else you want to add, then?
Anything you want to add?
Okay. Is there any discussion before I open the public hearing?
Yes. I think I would like to say something before we open the public hearing in case anybody in public wants to comment. But I'm very disappointed in this. And between quotes in the paper and what you just said now, Ted, it makes it very difficult for this board of supervisors to then express opinions that differ from the conservation boards, because it will be looked at as maybe we're not spending money wisely. So that's the comment I want to make before the public hearing. I have other comments afterwards, but that's the one I think I want to point out, that you have backed us, I feel, into a corner about this before we've even had a discussion.
Supervisor Heddens, anything you
want to ask or say? When you say you're going to kind of go back and kind of revamp, do you have a kind of a timeline, or what is the board kind of thinking there?
There was no timeline mentioned. There's a number of different things I think we need to look at. Some of them are the sustainable elements that Ted talked about. I think we want to go back and consider maybe a smaller scope on the cabin, maybe a different location at Dakin's Lake. Because let's, frankly, we had some of a significant portion of the costs were due to siting. Earthwork requirements, grading requirements, utility infrastructure requirements, etc. sharpen pencil on that, that helps. And then if we look at, okay, do we, like Ted mentioned, do we want to move forward with some consideration of using some of those sustainable techniques either at a lower level or maybe not using some of them and saving those for a project in another location, let's say Avery Grove. Those are some of the considerations as well. So unfortunately, I can't give you an exact timeline right now. We're very pleased with the design, aside from the cost opinion, but recognize the cost of doing business now is significant in this regard. But I think that we can be more fiscally responsible at Dakin's Lake, perhaps in a little different light than what we had envisioned here.
I would like to comment.
Could I say something first?
Sure.
And then let you comment, Ted. I want to say something because I'm liaison to the Conservation Board from the Board of Supervisors. That means that I'm ex officio. I do not vote there because you don't get two bites at the apple. I wouldn't vote on something there and then vote on something here. But I do attend meetings, and I've attended the last several meetings of the Conservation Board and have been, because of that, I've been involved in discussions, basically listening to discussions, and I do know that the Conservation Board members have put a lot of time and a lot of thought into this project. And I want to first commend the board for doing that, all the planning work and all the thought they have put into this. And particularly because of that, I want to commend the board for saying it's time to back off given what we've seen here with the cost estimate. And I think that it was a very good decision in terms of looking at use of taxpayers' money. I value the extra time and attention that the Conservation Board members can give to the Conservation Department, and I value your opinions and your hard work, and I just wanted to say that for the record. So thank you very much.
I just want to say, Loris, we were disappointed we had to come to this conclusion. As Linda said, we put a lot of time. We do have a lot of interest in the Dakin area and what we're going to put in there. And that this does not preclude that there will be something. But we've got to get straight with how we can design and get these buildings at a more reasonable cost.
Thank you for that. I'm not denigrating the work you guys have done, okay? I'm going back. I appreciate what Mike did about giving the whole kind of layout here about and timeline. My concern here is that, as I understand it, the cost above the $250,000 is we're looking at about another $70,000, correct, of this, or are we higher even? So what did we end up with the actual architect's estimate at?
The final cost opinion is $504,000.
Thank you. Okay. I appreciate that. The last I heard when Mike, you and I met was it was around $320,000. Okay. All right. And then I was going to make a comment about how many millions we spent at developing Dakin's Lake anyway in a percentage-wise. Okay. So, yes, this is significantly higher. Yeah.
It's significantly higher. And now that since you mentioned that, Loris, and I appreciate those comments, originally when we had talked about a cabin, we had talked about a 6 to 7, maybe 8 year payback return on investment. With this kind of cost figure, we're looking at a very aggressive payback schedule of 15 to 16 years. And so, you know, all of that played into the decision that the Conservation Board made that now we're at.
So I heard then if we're up around above 500,000, 20% is siding alone. So we would be looking at coming down still at 400,000 roughly on just no matter where we put it, whether it was Hickory Grove or whether we put it at Dakin's Lake.
I would hope that we could reduce that 20%, that portion of the project significantly. We can't eliminate it. So we still have utility connections and we still have lots of those things. But I would hope that that number could come from 100,000 could come down significantly. But you'll still have, we'll still have the cost there.
And then I'd also just like to clarify before we open the public hearing as far as how much of this was really taxpayer dollar and how much of it would it end up being the energy transfer money, which while it is in the in our general fund with the taxpayer, this is money that we were given by the Dakota Access Pipeline in compensation for them crossing a trail. So it's not taxed on the tax roll. So what was the breakdown on that?
Yeah, so originally in the budget we had $270,000.
Mm-hmm.
$20,000 of that would come from donations. $60,000 of that would come from general
fund. Mm-hmm.
And the balance then would budgeted to come from energy transfer fund.
Okay. Thank you. So the energy transfer fund money is still there,
correct,
regardless of the cost. If the conservation board wanted to pull that much more of that pot of money to put into here,
and that's the money I think that the conservation department uses a lot for grant matches, which bring in yet more money.
Right.
That's just that would be my concern about of really buying, you know. Drawing all that down for one project means there's a whole bunch of other projects that, you know, that money can be used as a 10% whatever percent match to get state or federal monies. And there's lots of, Mike's done a very, very good job of that. And I personally would not want to say, let's just raise that because that brings us so much more in.
I'm in agreement with you. I wouldn't want to rate it either. I mean, when the money came in, the previous board was very clear. We were very clear. It's your money. You can spend it how you want. But really, I just want to point out from a taxpayer's standpoint that we're not talking about it being direct taxings in the majority of this project. Okay, thanks.
Any other questions?
I just want to make one last comment in that in my short tenure so far on the Board of Supervisors, I know this has been a passionate area for you to work on, and I know that this wasn't probably an easy thing for you to hear from your board, a decision that was made, but I appreciate the fact that it was a unanimous vote because they all recognized it and the need to kind of go back and kind of relook and reassess. So I do appreciate that, and I just want to thank you for all the hard work you've done so far. And hopefully something can be identified, whether it's at Dakin Lake or wherever, to meet that need. So.
Thank you.
Okay. Some comments then. This is a public hearing item. I would open the public hearing. Is there any members of the public who would want to speak? Seeing no one, I will close the public hearing. It's been recommended to you that we postpone this construction period indefinitely on the Dakin's Cabin. I'd entertain a motion.
I so move that we postpone indefinitely construction or further work on the Dakin's Lake Cabin.
I'll second that.
Okay. Any further discussion? Olson?
Aye.
Hedden?
Aye.
Merkin? Aye. Again, thank you very much, and thank you to all the members of the conservation.
Thank you for your support.
And now we're to additional items. There are none. Department reports are none. Other reports, none. Upcoming agenda items. Is there anything that anybody wanted to note for upcoming agenda?
Not on my radar right now.
Not on mine right now.
Okay.
Either.
Then public forum number two, comments from the public on items not on this agenda. Because of the open meeting forum, we would not take any action on comments, but we might do so in the future. Is there anybody from the public? Closed public forum number two. liaison assignments, committee meetings, updates, and announcements from the supervisors. Lisa, would you like to go first?
Sure, a couple things. So first, while it's not an assignment that I'm designated to, I just want to say that the Mental Health Expo that took place in Story County last night had nearly 600 attendees. Jake Sullivan was the guest speaker, and his 13-year-old son spoke for a few minutes as well. So went over very, very well. I will be attending the public hearing tomorrow evening over in Boone. Thursday morning, I have a meeting, the Aging Resources meeting down in Des Moines, and then I have the 3 p.m. I'll be at the Ames Chamber for their strategic plan meeting. I've got that time slot. And then Friday, the Economic Development Summit. I think that's from 8 till 1 or 9 till 1. That's on my agenda for right now.
So I also will be at a couple of those. Got over in Boone about a drainage district public hearing tomorrow night. I'm going to be at the Economic Development Summit. I've got a different time slot. We split up our time slots with the Chamber, AEDC, Ames Strategic Planning. I'm also going to be down, if my back will take me down, to Grimes tonight for a Central Iowa Regional Housing Authority meeting. And then tomorrow and Friday afternoons, I'm going to be in training related to the Iowa Workforce Development redesign and relaunch of the Work Innovations and Opportunities Act as we bring that back up. So I'll be at training and the other things as mentioned.
Okay. And I will be at the Drainage District meeting, I will be at the Chamber Strategic Planning, and I will be at the Economic Development, and probably a couple other meetings as well, mostly staff meetings. So,
yes. I wanted to ask, since I went to a different meeting last Thursday night than you guys did, you went to ASSET, Joint ASSET meeting.
Yes.
Was there anything that came out of that that was...
Not really. The only thing that really came out was looking at some of the priority areas between the different funders, and we gave some direction, like for the CICS to go back and just get a little bit more specific into some of the block areas. They're staying within the health income, and education areas, but like United Way had some a little bit more specific information, and before the asset board voted on anything, they asked both the city folks and the county folks talked about, they wanted some direction, and we just said maybe they could just identify a little bit more. That was the only thing
okay.
that was really addressed there.
Okay, thank you. And Margaret James and I went on the producers and from the tour by the Story County pork producers, and it was interesting. The two of us asked a lot of questions. I think questions most of the other people who were on the tour already knew much more about pork production than we did. So it was informative, and I think in the future that we'll be able to use some of that information as we move forward with water quality, et cetera.
Right. Okay. Then we're ready for a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, Hedden?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
I do that again. I always do that. We want to get that one down. I always say aye for you on the adjournment motion.
It's okay. She
Merkin,
does
aye. We're adjourned.
Okay, thank you.